podcasting technology of normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com. And distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today it is Thursday, August 16th. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to help end senseless marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org to make your donation or join Normal today. Prohibition won't end without your support, so make sure you visit normal.org and join today. We have another fine audio stash for you today here, folks. Vivian McPeak, the director of Seattle's Hemp Fest, joins us today for a warm-up of this weekend's events. Also joining us to talk about Seattle's Hemp Fest this weekend is Radical Russ Belleville. He's the assistant director of Oregon Normal, and Russ has his own radio show out there in Portland on KPOJ. You can check out Russ at radicalruss.net. We've got some quick news about HempFest for you today. Then we've got our interviews. Also today, we're going to hear a little bit of audio we captured last year at the 2006 HempFest. Thanks to Donna DiBianco for gathering that audio for us last year. We're going to have exclusive HempFest audio for you right here on the Audio Stash next week. Let's get to our news. Our news today from Seattle, Washington. World's largest annual pot protestival to take place this weekend. Event organizers are expecting nearly 150,000 attendees at this weekend's 16th annual Seattle Hemp Fest, taking place this Saturday and Sunday at Myrtle Edwards Park in downtown Seattle. More than 70 speakers and 60 bands will participate on five stages during the two-day event, which is now recognized as the largest marijuana law reform gathering in the world. Speakers at this year's event include Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre, Normal's founder Keith Strupp, PBS travel host and Normal Advisory Board member Rick Steves, as well as Normal Board members George Rohrbacher and Jeffrey Steinborn. Musical reggae artist Pato Banton will headline the festival. The Seattle Hemp Fest is an all-volunteer effort, and it's free to attend. Donations are encouraged, and attendees are urged to ride public transportation to the event. For a complete schedule of this year's Seattle Hemp Fest speakers and events, please visit www.hempfest.org.
What's up, y'all? This is Soja, and you are right now listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Big up yourself.
Later on the show today, we're going to play some audio from HempFest last year in 2006 and a warm-up to the event this weekend. Today, we're going to speak with Russ Belleville, the assistant director of Oregon Normal and host of a popular radio show in Portland, Oregon. We'll also check in with the busiest guy in Seattle this week, Vivian McPeak, the coordinator of HempFest. Vivian is the man who has really worked his soul to the bone growing this event year after year. Let's start today by speaking with Radical Russ Belleville. You can find him on the radio at 6:50 a.m. KPOJ in Portland, Oregon, or online at radicalruss.net. Again, Russ is the assistant director of Oregon Normal and has been one of the most involved people in reform up there in the Northwest. He'll be a featured speaker this weekend at HempFest, so make sure to catch Russ live when you're there. Russ, welcome back here to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Always great to speak with you, Russ. Now, this weekend, we'll bring together a couple hundred thousand active marijuana reformers in one place. You know, Russ, tell us about the atmosphere at this event. What's it been like in the past?
Oh, wow. HempFest, if you haven't been to it, if you're anywhere near the Pacific Northwest, you need to go to this. And at least once in your life, it should be like Mecca. You should make one pilgrimage at least in your life to go to HempFest. We're talking an entire park along the Seattle waterfront, you know, huge park. I don't know if it's a mile or two. It's pretty big. Just crammed packed with 150 to 200,000 like-minded people, all supporting the idea of ending adult marijuana prohibition and returning America to our hemp roots. There's stages, like three or four stages with bands. There's a hemposium, which is a speaker panel where we have, you know, many people from the movement together, you know, experts, doctors, activists, politicians, speaking to the people and getting the information out there so people can make better decisions and do better lobbying to get our laws changed.
And Russ, you're with Oregon Normal, but all of the Normals in the Seattle area, and some not necessarily in that area, have a great presence at this event, along with National Normal.
We try to get as many Normal chapters there as possible. You know, it's all the Normal chapters are nonprofit groups, so the ability, you know, the financial ability for one group or the other to attend might be different from group to group. Like, for example, I don't know if anyone from, say, Florida is going to have the money to be able to make it. But, Oregon Normal will be there. We're a co-sponsor this year. We're going to have a booth there, as well as myself. I'm the associate director and media producer. And our executive director, Madeline Martinez, will be there. And both of us are featured speakers this year. So we'll be up on the main stages giving our motivation and education to anyone who's willing to listen.
Well, you and Madeline Martinez, the Oregon Normal Director, and all of your volunteers have done such an amazing job up there, Russ. Oregon really has the most rock-solid medical program in the country right now.
We believe so. We think statewide we have probably the most generous program and the most, I don't want to say strictly, but closely regulated. Like we're all about, you know, staying above the law and keeping our patients and our growers safe. So we feel that, you know, by having a well-written, bright lines in our law, that helps us to deal better with law enforcement and deal with the skeptics who think that medical marijuana is some sort of stalking horse or fake issue. We feel by better definitions, we have a better program.
You mentioned the speakers and the hemposium. So this event, not just about the music and the atmosphere, but having these reformers speaking on every one of the stages throughout the 2 days.
Absolutely. You know, when you have a major festival like this, when you have lots of different bands, well, of course it's going to take time to take the drum set down from one band and put up the speakers for the next band. So in between those stage switches, that's when the speakers will be on stage. So, you know, you can stay in one place, listen to a great band, then listen to a great speaker, followed by another great band. So it works out great, you know, the entertainment and it.
And also, while Seattle has this reputation for rainy weather, HempFest has always had a wonderful sunshine and really great weather for the last few years.
Yeah, anybody out there in the rest of the country listening to this who's been suffering through 100-degree weather or 95-degree weather, here in the Portland and Seattle area, it's been about 75 for the past 2 weeks and generally sunny. So, did I say that? No, I meant it rains all the time. Yeah, don't come here. It rains all the time. No, it'll be beautiful. The forecast we were hearing is supposed to be partly sunny for Saturday around 75, and then Sunday there's a slight chance of some scattered, like little, we call them little misties up here in the Pacific Northwest. It's not really rain, but it's kind of wet. You wouldn't even need an umbrella, really. It's just a little bit of mist on your face.
And Russ, one more thing. You know, how does local media treat HempFest while it's happening up there?
Well, the alternative weeklies, you know, like The Stranger up in Seattle or the Willamette Week down here in Portland, the more of the alternative weekly type papers tend to have a more favorable impression. With the dailies like the Seattle Post-Intelligencer or the Oregonian here in Portland, it's more of just the facts, ma'am. I mean, they'll say there is this event and this is what's happening, you know, the who, what, when, where, why. And they try to avoid doing any sort of commentary or anything about it. The Willamette Week's headline was something to be along the lines of puff, puff, pass, the Hemp Fest is on or something like that. So every now and then we'll get kind of a shot across the bow, some of these sarcastic things about it being all about smoking or getting high. But, you know, those of us who are a part of it know that it's really nothing about that at all. It's more about, you know, changing the laws and informing people about the medical and industrial uses of hemp and cannabis.
Right on. Well, Russ, I want to thank you for joining us here today. I look forward to speaking with you again this weekend. Folks, Russ is going to call in from HempFest for us on Sunday. So, Russ, many thanks again for joining us today and in advance for the call-in.
Hey, no problem. I'll be there, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks again, Russ. Radical Russ Belleville is Associate Director of Oregon Normal and hosts his own radio program on 650 AM KPOJ in Portland, Oregon. You can find him online at RadicalRuss.net. Stay tuned. The director of HempFest, Vivian McPeak, joins us next.
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
The Seattle HempFest, just about 24 hours away. More information is online at hempfest.org. If you're going to attend the event, I strongly encourage you to hit the website, hempfest.org, to find out information about being there. This massive reform rally is an all-volunteer event. It is free to the public. There are five stages running, and with security and other concerns, it is one of the biggest annual events to plan in America. It goes off every year successfully and safely because of the hard work of all of the volunteers and planning committee at Washington Normal. Leading the effort of HempFest and the volunteers each year is Vivian McPeak of Washington Normal. He's the director of HempFest. And folks, if you cannot attend in person this weekend, please send HempFest a donation so that they can keep growing this amazing meeting of like-minded cannabis reformers. Vivian joined us yesterday via phone. Vivian, welcome back here to the Audio Stash today.
Thanks, Chris. It's always great to be on the show.
Great to speak with you today, Vivian. The lineup this year is really impressive, from the speakers to the bands.
Yeah, we've got some great music and speakers, and we just really pulled out all the stops this year. You know, musically, we've got one of my favorite reggae artists, Pato Bonten. The guy's just probably the most positive reggae artist on the planet. Alan White and his band White from the band Yes, and earlier with Plastic Ono Band. And really just a tremendous lineup, a great band from Hawaii called Free Sound that people should check out. I think we might have one of the largest collections of reformers and experts on reform anywhere going on. We're really excited about it.
And the weather seems to be good for this weekend as well.
As you know, no amount of organizing, planning, promotion, money you can throw at it can do anything about the weather ultimately. And you know, we're never really satisfied until we wake up on Saturday morning and see for ourselves. Because we live in Seattle and we know what can happen. It's looking good. It's looking good.
Also, the last time we spoke, Vivian, there was still the issue with the Sculpture Park, the art museum that borders on Myrtle Edwards Park there, but those issues have now been resolved.
Yeah, you know, it was very contentious for a while, and it was a real struggle for our survival, but we really think that we've entered into a new phase, and we've overcome that, and there's a new director of the Sculpture Park that we're working with, and it seems like things have gone full circle, so we're really proud. We're cooperating now in ways to minimize the impact that HempFest has without minimizing the free speech at all.
And I know it's tough to gauge the exact presence there because it is a free event for all to attend, but, you know, how many people are you expecting out there this weekend?
We feel pretty confident that we have a minimum of 50 to 75,000 people per day. Some people like to say that's 100,000, 150,000 per day, but all we know is it's as many people as we can squeeze into that park, just about.
And right now, as we speak, the state of Washington Department of Health is looking into the issue of defining a 60-day supply for medical cannabis patients. So it's a particularly poignant festival this year as the state looks into refining its own medical marijuana program there.
You know, it really is, and it's surreal to be 10 years into a medical marijuana law and still have people being prosecuted. And it's because we don't have that 60-day supply designation. And, you know, as everybody listening to this podcast knows, patients are among those people that have no time to wait for the laws to change. So we're really going to be putting a call out for everybody to chime in, because what an opportunity we have as citizens. They're asking us what we think the law should be, and that's how democracy is supposed to work.
And the event also features speakers who are currently or were part of the Seattle city government. Last year it was Norm Stamper, who was the former police chief in Seattle, and some city councilors as well.
We've had two city council members speak, Peter Steinberg and Nick Licata. Nick Licata, the president of the city council. And you know, we feel very strongly, Chris, that HempFest couldn't happen in any other city, and that we're just blessed to be in a city that's progressive and has just a real regard for the First Amendment here.
So HempFest really serves as this venue not just for the public to support reform and learn about reform, but for elected officials to learn about and participate in the issue as well.
Well, yeah, and you know, having people like Norm Stamper last year and Rick Steves this year, people who are so respected and have achieved so much in mainstream America, having people come out and have the courage to speak out a message of reform and of liberty and justice really gives us the extra credibility that we need. Because it doesn't really matter how big HempFest could have a million people, and if we didn't have those kind of voices speaking, that could cut through the cultural baggage. Because we all know that the stereotypes that are used against us weren't accurate 35 years ago when they were created, and they're even less accurate today. So, you know, when people like Mark Stepnosky of Normal and members of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, when we have people like that stepping out, then people, you know, people who maybe have never been in contact with our culture or with us start to have a second thought about the stereotypes they've generated. And really, it's those stereotypes that are perpetuating these laws. And if we can bust out of that and let people see that this is a human rights movement equal to any human rights movement that has preceded it, you know, essentially that people who smoke marijuana are nothing more than people who smoke marijuana, then we'll win.
Right on, Vivian. That was a very powerful statement. Rings with such truth. Now, last year, there were zero, let me repeat that here for our folks out there, there were zero arrests for marijuana violations at the HempFest. And that really, again, about 100,000 folks out in 2 days, and it really is a great demonstration of the decriminalization ordinance there in Seattle.
Well, you know, just yesterday we had a walkthrough with the city and the police and the port police, and, you know, we really reached, this is the hump year is the way I look at it for HempFest here at the 16th year, that relations couldn't be better, and it's because there's a relationship of mutual respect and trust that we've developed over the last 15 or 16 years. Our evacuation plans have been wholly endorsed by the SPD, and they said that they said they're better than most events have, and that they couldn't change anything. And you hear these people, you know, I know my rights. Well, we never scream, I know my rights. We scream, we earn our rights.
Right on.
And you're never going to hear us waving our finger, I know what my rights are, you know. It's really incumbent upon us to deserve these rights, to earn them as citizens and to work for democracy, work for freedom and liberty, you know. And so really we put HempFest, we put the extra oomph in. You know, we don't get high at our meetings, at HempFest planning meetings, at our formal ones anyway. There's no smoking allowed. That happens afterward. Same thing for people working the event. If you're caught smoking pot in your staff shirt on your shift at HempFest, you're fired and your shirt's taken away, because we take it that seriously, you know. And afterwards, man, do we smoke a lot of pot.
Right on, Vivian. Well, again, this lineup is spectacular this year, and I'll give you the good actor send-off here today and say break a leg this weekend. I know it's going to be a great show. Many thanks for joining us today, Vivian.
Thanks, Chris. I really appreciate that, man. Thanks for all the great work that y'all are doing, and all the listeners out there, man, thanks for listening, because this is one of your best resources right here.
Right on.
Normal Podcast.
Right on. Many thanks again, Vivian. Vivian McPeak is the coordinator of HempFest in Seattle, and he's with Washington Normal. You can link up to HempFest at www.hempfest.org. And we have links to Washington Normal up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. If you can't make it out to the event in person this weekend, please send them a donation to hempfest.org. Stay tuned. We have some highlights from last year's HempFest coming up next.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Here's some great audio we got from HempFest last year, and we'll have links to other HempFest audio from the 2006 HempFest up on our website today at normalaudiostash.com. Here's Ngayo Bilum, who we've heard on the Pot's Greatest Hit CD. He's a wonderful comic and a great activist in his own right out there. Here's Ngayo on stage, followed by Tim Pate, great musician. Tim also helps host a television show called The Cannabis Connection up there in the Northwest. So here's some audio from the 2006 HempFest. Audio from this weekend's 2007 HempFest will be right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash next week. Make sure you tune in every day to your first source for marijuana reform information. This program, Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Many thanks to Donna DiBianco, who was up at HempFest last year and got us this audio.
My name is Ngayo. I drove up here from Los Angeles, California, in my bucket. So I have that 260 air conditioning. You know, you roll down two windows, try to go 60. So it's good to be here. I can't stay too long because I have the shoes and my brother works nights. But look, I'm trying to tell you I'm broke. That's what I'm trying to tell you. You ever been so broke you went through your couch again? Oh, shit, this morning. I'm a good cook because I don't have any money, though. I don't have any money and I smoke a lot of weed, so I will invent a snack. You feel me? If we got Bisquick and peanut butter, shit. That's peanut butter rolls. 10 to 12 minutes. You adjusted at higher altitudes. But look, I looked at the pantry one time. We had marshmallows, margarine, and top ramen. I'm making ramen treats. Ramen treats. They were hella good, too. Don't use the flavor packet. That'll fuck it up. It's not savory. I'm just glad y'all know what top ramen is. No, for real. Because sometimes you get upscale crowds. I had to break it down to a crowd one time. I was like, well, y'all know cup of noodles, right? Uh-huh. Well, I can't afford a fucking cup. I'm just trying to get old noodles. That's what I'm trying to represent. All right. We're going to bring a man up here. He's going to talk for a few minutes. And then Tim Pate is going to come out and play some music. And we're going to have a good time. And give yourselves a round of applause again for coming out here. Make some noise for all the volunteers and the staff and the states, people working hard and shit. Everybody's volunteering, so give some money. Because the applause is cool, but, you know, when it comes time to pay the city, we can't go, woo, we really thank you for letting us use the park. It's fucking great. You guys rock. They want money. All right, so this next guy come out all the way from Houston, Texas. All right, no dick jokes. Are the brownies kicking in? So I was going to have some coffee. Weed and coffee, the poor man's eight ball. Everybody knows that. Oompa Loompa. How are you guys doing? Coming along. This is the Tim Pate and friends. Let's hear it for these guys. They're setting up. Are you guys going to do some picking and some grinning? Oh, so there's going to be picking and grinning. So it's both kinds of music, country and western. I like rhythm and blues music. What were we talking about? Europe? Sure. I'm going to tell you. This is about 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. I flew out, me and a couple friends. We went out. We did a little month-long thing in Europe. And we started in London, and I didn't bring any weed because I fit a profile. You feel me? And I didn't want them going through my shit, literally. So I was concerned. Take your time. I was concerned that I wouldn't be able to enjoy myself, but it turns out that my haircut is an international weed passport. They couldn't wait to sell me weed as soon as I got off the plane. Hello, governor, you're going to need a bag of weed. Well, indeed I will, sir. God save the queen. And they couldn't believe the amount of weed I could smoke. They're just staring every day. Crikey. Has he got another spliff? It's 9:30 in the morning. Dude, I'm on holiday. What'd you boil for breakfast? Let's go. Because that's the British food. Excuse me, this has flavor left. Could you boil it some more? Because... So we left London because we were fucking hungry, and we flew to France, the south of France, the Côte d'Azur. It's very nice, beautiful food, beautiful spot, but it turns out that France is full of French people, so we drove to Spain. Now, we're starting a party. Fucking Barcelona, Spain, 3 days, had a blast, I'm pretty sure. I don't really remember all three. Sometimes I just wake up in the middle of the night. Mas sangria! I'm cool. So we had fun. That's my point. Then we went to Berlin, which was really cool because I managed to find a guy who would give... This is back in the day. So we would get 2.5 grams of Berlin's finest marijuana for 20 Deutschmarks, which at the time was $12.50 U.S. So, hey, put me down for the Deutsch sack every day, brother, because... The dollar is strong, and I'm letting them know. Schnell! Mach schnell! So, we only had a week left. You guys almost ready? Take your time. I'm never in a hurry. I'm one of those cats. I'm not lagging behind, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not in a rush, ever. Okay, sometimes, right at the end. But for the most part, Do you guys ever have sex? Anybody here ever once? Two, three people. Everybody else, well, I just got a new computer. And I don't have the kind of time that I used to have. Because I'm too busy studying. What was I talking about? So Amsterdam, this is the point. This is, I'm wrapping it up. I'm finishing strong. So we had 1 week left, so we went to Amsterdam. Duh, of course. Look at my haircut again. So we're in Amsterdam, and it's not the weed that fucks you up. It's the hashish, because Americans aren't used to it. In America, hash is a felony. In Amsterdam, it's a snack. Do you understand where I'm coming from? I was very close to becoming a smuggler. I was. I thought about it every day. I was just going to take a big ball of that beautiful Lebanese Amsterdam hash and just stick it right in my butt. And get on the plane. I'm old school. I'm a purist about some things. It's a tradition. You stick it in your butt, you get on the plane. The Amsterdam hamstergram is what I'm talking about when it's time to bring that shit back. You guys almost, you ready? I'm going to close. Well, no, okay, I'll finish the story. A friend of mine, since you think that's bad, get ready. She brought some marijuana back from Amsterdam. However, she did not smuggle it home in her butt. You understand what I'm talking about? We smoked it. It was delicious. It had kind of a tang to it. All right. It's the only time in my life I ever honky-lipped a joint. Now look. Honky-lipping, you heard me. You heard me. I know you say it the other way. Like, we don't know. But look. How do you know? They're not supposed to know. We got a security breach. Code yellow. Are y'all ready?
Yeah, we're ready?
All right. You guys gonna play Fire on the Mountain? Ladies and gentlemen, all the way, how'd I know, from Portland, Oregon, please welcome Tim Pate and his friends over here.
I didn't get much sleep that night till the daylight temperament. I said, I'm only gonna take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. I just might get some sleep tonight. Well, I ran into the devil one day that he loaned me 20 bills. He spent that night in Utah in a cave up in the hills. I said, I'm gonna take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. I just might get some sleep tonight. Well, I went down to the levee, but the devil fought me there. He took my $20 and he vanished in the air. I said, I'm gonna take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. I just might get some sleep tonight. Well, I got two reasons why I lie awake each lonely night. First one's name's Wade Ann Marie. She's my heart's delight. Second one is prison bait, and the sheriff's on my trail. If he catches up to me, I spend my life in jail. Well, I got a wife in Chino, yeah, and one in Cherokee. The first one says she got my child, but it don't look like me. Said, I'm only gonna take my time. A friend of the devil is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight. I just might get some sleep tonight. Trail. And if he catches up to me, I spend my life in jail. wife in Chino, yeah, and one in Cherokee. The first one says she got my child, but it don't look like me. Said, I'm gonna take my time. My friend, brother devil, is a friend of mine. I get home before daylight, I just might get some sleep tonight.
Next up in our Hempfest recap from 2006, here's Vivian McPeak. We heard Vivian earlier in the show, along with Norm Stamper, the former police chief in Seattle. Here's Vivian McPeak and Norm Stamper. We're going to end this out with Vivian's onstage chant at Hempfest. Gives you a sense of what's happening out there.
Wow, Randy Rhoads at Seattle Hempfest. The largest, the first protestival in the world. Give it up. Show your love to Randy. Okay. Man, this has got to be the greatest day in my life, and I'm not kidding. This is the greatest day in my life, and because of you folks and this beautiful weather and this wonderful sound and this great city in this amazing country with these beautiful vendors, these amazing musicians, these great speakers, man, these great speakers, and our amazing staff and all of our sponsors. What an oasis of freedom and First Amendment constitutional rights to gather and peacefully assemble. Seattle's the greatest city in the world! And I can prove that. 15 years ago, I stood on the little amphitheater at Volunteer Park at the first Seattle Hemp Fest. It was called the Washington State Hemp Expo. Who was there? We've grown since then. We've become a force to be reckoned with. We've become the largest hemp rally in the world. If you'd have told me back in 1991, Vivian, in 15 years from now, our chief of police is going to come up on your stage at Hempfest, and he's going to be speaking out the same message you guys have been speaking, I'd have said, I don't know what you're smoking, man, but it's really, really strong. It kind of seems like conventional wisdom would say it's impossible, but if you also told people, you're going to have 100,000 people down in the most beautiful park right by the Space Needle, and you're going to have 1,000 volunteers, and bands are going to come from all over different states to play for free, and speakers are going to fly in from all over the country, and you're going to have it, and the place is going to be cleaner than a whistle when you're done, and the police are going to walk around smiling and be cooperative and responsible and respective, man, and support us and help us and save us when we're sick and down, they'd say, that's impossible. We've done what's impossible! You made it possible. Now, man, Randy Rhoads, and now this. The former Seattle Chief of Police, the author of the book Breaking Rank, give a warm Seattle historic welcome to our former Seattle Police Chief, Norm Stamper!
Thank you very, very much for that warm welcome. Thank you. Thank you. I became a police officer in 1966. I can't even believe I just said that. It was the year my son was born. In the police academy, we'd spend half the day in the classroom, the other half the day in the field. The very first night that I was on patrol, I saw an act of unspeakable domestic violence. A man who had battered his wife's face so badly that her features were indistinguishable. In the background, children crying and sobbing and wailing in fear. We arrested that man. We broke down his door to get to him. We arrested that man and we put him in jail. A little later that year, I arrested a couple of people who had committed a robbery with knives and had cut up an elderly man behind the counter of this mom-and-pop convenience store. A little later, I presided over an investigation into the San Diego Metropolitan Homicide Task Force investigation into the deaths of 44 sex industry workers. I have been involved throughout my 34 years in San Diego and in Seattle in law enforcement with violent crime, with predatory crimes that hurt people and frighten people and cause them to change the way they live. Those are the kinds of crimes that your police department, that every police department in this country should be focused on, not non-violent drug offenders. I love police officers, good ones, and there are legions of good police officers, people who think, people who care, people who exhibit compassion and sensitivity and responsiveness to the community that hired them. I love them, and it pains me greatly when one of them gets hurt. Or worse.
That we still need to follow the political channels, and our Constitution was written.
Like police officer Lito Barber, who was killed a week ago today by a driver traveling 80 miles an hour in a business district. I take my small moment of silence in the memory of Lito Barber and many, many other police officers slain in the line of duty. Many of them caught in the crossfire of violent drug trafficking.
All right, next is Chris.
Drug trafficking is as popular and as lucrative as it is. I'm talking now about illicit drug trafficking because the product is illicit, which then carries this extraordinary price, which causes people to arm themselves to expand or protect their markets. Causes police officers to raid houses, sometimes the wrong houses.
Time, they provide energy, they provide
the culture of drug dealing, illicit drug dealing, is by definition a violent culture. The only way to reduce that violence is to extract the profits from the illicit trafficking and to regulate and control drugs rather than banning those drugs.
We're doing a part to sort of train the next generation of drug.
I am a proud member of the Normal Advisory Board. I'm a member of the Drug Policy Alliance. And I am an extremely proud member of LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Drug policy or normal, or others.
We are 5,000 strong police officers who value the Constitution, who value your civil liberties, the civil liberties of all Americans. Police officers who know that prohibition has never worked, is not working now, and never will work. Police officers, in short, who support regulation and control of drugs and not their prohibition. I would like to urge you, if you happen to be a proponent of drug policy reform that falls shy of legalization, a word that I utter cautiously and carefully in a marijuana reform movement setting, nothing that we do in LEAP should in any way compromise or jeopardize a more incremental approach or approach that advocates the prohibition of hard drugs. I understand that. I respect it. And I will work as diligently and as cooperatively and as respectively as I possibly can, and so will my organization, to ensure that we do not compromise marijuana law reform. If there is an exemplar of the silliest law on the books, it is, in fact, the prohibition against marijuana.
Drug possession on campus, a lot of universities, they'll call their parents.
If you want to support us, please visit that same website and sign on as a friend of LEAP. If you are not a member of DPA or Normal or many of the other drug policy reform organizations, please give some thought to doing that, to signing up, because in the end, it's going to require, I think,
a year or so, we've had
had a few campuses now that have passed.
It hurts me every time I think of the police being used as frontline soldiers in somebody else's drug war. I refer to the president of this country, to the head of DEA, to the attorney general. I refer to everyone in those comfortable offices in Washington, D.C., who are prosecuting this unwinnable and immoral war at the tune of $69 billion per year, and then putting police officers in the role of the bad guy, or police officers in the role of nanny. This is fundamentally about freedom. Your freedom, my freedom, the freedom of each and every one of us. Thank you.
We also work primarily on issues that affect young people and students. And the number one issue that we worked on that we were really...
Okay, I can die now. My mission has been fulfilled. Nope, it's not legal yet. I gotta stick around. Darn! Norm Stamper! Okay, man. Wow. I want to really thank the stilt walkers from Pure Circus. They're working first aid. They're walking around on stilts. If somebody's down, they raise a flag. Is that cool? There's one right there, man. So don't be down, okay? Let's keep them really bored. It's extremely hot. We want you to stay hydrated. We want you to stay high and drated, both, okay?
Of real liberty and justice, we're marching and chanting, we're building and teaching, we're speaking out and reaching up, we're coming out of our closets and into our element. We are the children of the light, the bearers of the torch, the teachers of the truth. We're gentle but strong, peaceful but fearless, hopeful but aware. We're everywhere, we're multiplying rapidly, we're coming together at the seams. We are living spirit in the flesh and the future of this world. Anyone ever pitch in, we are no grudge, we forgive in advance. We want everyone to be nurtured and live in peace, and we will stop at nothing! We will not take no for an answer! Hempfest for victory! Give me nice! Come on, man! Give me nice! Give me E! Give me nail! Give me P! What's that fire?
Vivian McPeak, the director of HempFest, and Norm Stamper, the former police chief in Seattle, now a LEAP speaker, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. That's what Norm is doing out there these days. And then rounding that out, you heard Vivian on stage with his HempFest chant going on right there. That is what you can experience out there this weekend in Seattle. You can find out more information about HempFest at hempfest.org. Listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's normalaudiostash.com for more information about every day's show. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow.